Today is the 4th day of July. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. Great to be here with you today as we gather again. So it's July 4th. We're a global community. July 4th is a pretty major holiday in the United States, but it's a pretty major day in my life and in my world. So this is Independence Day for we who live in the United States, and that entails all kinds of things, outdoorsy and cookouts and campfires and much fireworks to go around. But today, more importantly, at least for me, is my wife's birthday. My precious wife, Jill. And so we, at least here, globally, in our community, celebrate her. So happy birthday, Jill. I love you with all my heart. And I don't know, that's a hard transition back toward where we're going. So let's just turn the corner. Happy birthday, Jill. Great to be here with all of you to mark that time, and great to here to be with all of you for why we've come here, which is to come into a safe oasis that we create each day that we call the Global Campfire, and take another step forward in the scriptures together. And so let's do that. But before we do, we're at the end of a week. And at the end of the week, we all gather back together and remember that when we began this week, it was fresh and shiny and new. We have now written the story of the week. And so taking some time to reflect back on what that looked like, where we did well, and frankly, where we didn't. And to understand kind of and trace why, like what went wrong and what went right, so that we learn our patterns and learn new ones. And this is how we change, because we really can't change if we're not paying attention to ourselves. If all we do is react and pay attention to what everyone else is doing, we are oblivious to ourselves. And really, the only thing we have control over to change is ourselves. So paying attention to ourselves, well, that's called self-awareness. And that opens the door for the Holy Spirit to do all kinds of transformative work, because we're collaborating. Instead of just judging everyone, we're kind of looking inward to ourselves. And so let's make sure that we do that now and take some time today to just reflect back, because it will make it. I mean, we make a cumulative difference when we do this each week. And so make sure to spend some time thinking about the week as we continue forward. But now let's jump in. 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 31 through 25, verse 30. Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he became king of Judah, and he ruled from Jerusalem only 3 months. His mother Hamutal was the daughter of Jeremiah from Libna. Jehoahaz disobeyed the Lord just as some of his ancestors had done. King Necho of Egypt had Jehoahaz arrested and put in prison at Riblah near Hamath. Then he forced the people of Judah to pay him 3.4 tons of silver and 34 kilograms of gold as taxes. Necho appointed Josiah's son Eliakim king of Judah and changed his name to Jehoiakim. He took Jehoahaz as a prisoner to Egypt, where he died. Jehoiakim forced the people of Judah to pay higher taxes so he could give Necho the silver and gold he demanded. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he was appointed king, and he ruled 11 years from Jerusalem. His mother, Zebaidah, was the daughter of Pedaiah from Rumah. Jehoiakim disobeyed the Lord by following the example of his ancestors. During Jehoiakim's rule, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylonia invaded and took control of Judah. Jehoiakim obeyed Nebuchadnezzar for 3 years, but then he rebelled. At that time, the Lord started sending troops to rob and destroy towns in Judah. Some of these troops were from Babylonia, and others were from Syria, Moab, and Ammon. The Lord had sent his servants, the prophets, to warn Judah about this, and now he was making it happen. The country of Judah was going to be wiped out, because Manasseh had sinned and caused many innocent people to die. The Lord would not forgive this. Everything else Jehoiakim did while he was king is written in the history of the kings of Judah. Jehoiakim died, and his son Jehoiachin became king. King Nebuchadnezzar defeated King Necho of Egypt and took control of his land from the Egyptian gorge all the way north to the Euphrates River. So Necho never invaded Judah again. Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he became king of Judah, and he ruled only 3 months from Jerusalem. His mother Nehushta was the daughter of Elnathan from Jerusalem. Jehoiachin disobeyed the Lord just as his father Jehoiakim had done. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylonia sent troops to attack Jerusalem soon after Jehoiachin became king. During the attack, Nebuchadnezzar himself arrived at the city. Jehoiachin immediately surrendered, together with his mother and his servants, as well as his army officers and officials. Then Nebuchadnezzar had Jehoiachin arrested. These things took place in the 8th year of Nebuchadnezzar's rule in Babylonia. The Lord had warned that someday the treasures would be taken from the royal palace and from the temple, including the gold objects that Solomon had made for the temple. And that's exactly what Nebuchadnezzar ordered his soldiers to do. He also led away as prisoners the Jerusalem officials, the military leaders, and the skilled workers, 10,000 in all. Only the very poorest people were left in Judah. Nebuchadnezzar took Jehoiachin to Babylon, along with his mother, his wives, his officials, and the most important leaders of Judah. He also led away 7,000 soldiers and 1,000 skilled workers, all of them trained for battle. Then Nebuchadnezzar appointed Jehoiachin's uncle Mattaniah king of Judah and changed his name to Zedekiah. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he was appointed king of Judah, and he ruled from Jerusalem for 11 years. His mother Hamutal was the daughter of Jeremiah from Libna. Zedekiah disobeyed the Lord just as Jehoiakim had done. It was Zedekiah who finally rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. The people of Judah and Jerusalem had made the Lord so angry that he turned his back on them. That's why these horrible things were happening. In Zedekiah's 9th year as king, on the 10th day of the 10th month, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylonia led his entire army to attack Jerusalem. The troops set up camp outside the city and built ramps up to the city walls. After a year and a half, all the food in Jerusalem was gone. Then on the 9th day of the 4th month, the Babylonian troops broke through the city wall. That same night, Zedekiah and his soldiers tried to escape through the gate near the royal garden, even though they knew the enemy had the city surrounded. They headed toward the desert, but the Babylonian troops caught up with them near Jericho. They arrested Zedekiah, but his soldiers scattered in every direction. Zedekiah was taken to Riblah, where Nebuchadnezzar put him on trial and found him guilty. Zedekiah's sons were killed right in front of him. His eyes were then poked out, and he was put in chains and dragged off to Babylon. About a month later, in Nebuchadnezzar's 19th year as king, Nebuzaradan, who was his official in charge of the guards, arrived in Jerusalem. Nebuzaradan burned down the Lord's temple, the king's palace, and every important building in the city, as well as all the houses. And he ordered the Babylonian soldiers to break down the walls around Jerusalem. He led away as prisoners the people left in the city, including those who had become loyal to Nebuchadnezzar. Only some of the poorest people were left behind to work the vineyards and the fields. The Babylonian soldiers took the two bronze columns that stood in front of the temple, the 10 movable bronze stands, and the large bronze bowl called the Sea. They broke them into pieces so they could take the bronze to Babylonia. They carried off the bronze things used for worship at the temple, including the pans for hot ashes, and the shovels, snuffers, and also the dishes for incense, as well as the fire pans and the sprinkling bowls. Nebuzaradan ordered his soldiers to take everything made of gold or silver. The pile of bronze from the columns, the stands, and the large bowl that Solomon had made for the temple was too large to be weighed. Each column had been 8 meters tall with a bronze cap over 1 meter high. These caps were decorated with bronze designs, some of them like chains and others like pomegranates. Next, Nebuzaradan arrested Seraiah, the chief priest, Zephaniah, his assistant, and 3 temple officials. Then he arrested one of the army commanders, the king's 5 personal advisors, and the officer in charge of gathering the troops for battle. He also found 60 more soldiers who were still in Jerusalem. Nebuzaradan led them all to Riblah, near Hamath, where Nebuchadnezzar had them killed. Most of the people of Judah had been carried away as captives from their own country. King Nebuchadnezzar appointed Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, to rule the few people still living in Judah. When the army officers and troops heard that Gedaliah was their ruler, the officers met with him at Mizpah. These men were Ishmael, son of Netaniah, Yohanan, son of Kareah, Seraiah, son of Tenumet, from Netophah, and Jaazaniah from Maacah. Gedaliah said to them, "Everything will be fine, I promise. We don't need to be afraid of the Babylonian rulers if we live peacefully here and do what Nebuchadnezzar says." Ishmael was from the royal family, and about 2 months after Gedaliah began his rule, Ishmael and 10 other men went to Mizpah. They killed Gedaliah and his officials, including those from Judah and those from Babylonia. After that, the army officers and all the people in Mizpah, whether important or not, were afraid of what the Babylonians might do. So they left Judah and went to Egypt. Jehoiakim was a prisoner in Babylon for 37 years. Then evil Merodach became king of Babylonia. And in the first year of his rule, on the 27th day of the 12th month, he let Jehoiakim out of prison. Evil-Merodach was kind to Jehoiakim and honored him more than any of the other kings held prisoner there. Jehoiakim was even allowed to wear regular clothes, and he ate at the king's table every day. As long as Jehoiakim lived, he was paid a daily allowance to buy whatever he needed. Acts 22:17 through 23:10. After this, I returned to Jerusalem and went to the temple to pray. There I had a vision of the Lord who said to me, "Hurry and leave Jerusalem. The people won't listen to what you say about me." I replied, "Lord, they know that in many of our synagogues I arrested and beat people who had faith in you. Stephen was killed because he spoke for you, and I stood there and cheered them on. I even guarded the clothes of the men who murdered him." But the Lord told me to go, and he promised to send me far away to the Gentiles. The crowd listened until Paul said this. Then they started shouting, Get rid of this man. He doesn't deserve to live. They kept shouting. They waved their clothes around and threw dust into the air. The Roman commander ordered Paul to be taken into the fortress and beaten with a whip. He did this to find out why the people were screaming at Paul. While the soldiers were tying Paul up to be beaten, he asked the officer standing there, "Is it legal to beat a Roman citizen before he has been tried in court?" When the officer heard this, he went to the commander and said, "What are you doing? This man is a Roman citizen." The commander went to Paul and asked, "Tell me, are you a Roman citizen?" "Yes," Paul answered. The commander then said, "I paid a lot of money to become a Roman citizen." But Paul replied, "I was born a Roman citizen." The men who were about to beat and question Paul quickly backed off, and the commander himself was frightened when he realized that he had put a Roman citizen in chains. The next day, the commander wanted to know the real reason why the Jewish leaders had brought charges against Paul. So he had Paul's chains removed, and he ordered the chief priests and the whole council to meet. Then he had Paul led in and made him stand in front of them. Paul looked straight at the council members and said, "My friends, to this day, I have served God with a clear conscience." Then Ananias the high priest ordered the men standing beside Paul to hit him on the mouth. Paul turned to the high priest and said, "You whitewashed wall, God will hit you. You sit there to judge me by the law of Moses, but at the same time you order men to break the law by hitting me." The men standing beside Paul asked, "Don't you know you are insulting God's high priest?" Paul replied, "Oh, I didn't know he was the high priest. The scriptures do tell us not to speak evil about a leader of our people." When Paul saw that some of the council members were Sadducees and others were Pharisees, he shouted, "My friends, I am a Pharisee and the son of a Pharisee. I am on trial simply because I believe that the dead will be raised to life." As soon as Paul said this, the Pharisees and the Sadducees got into a big argument, and the council members started taking sides. "The Sadducees do not believe in angels or spirits or that the dead will rise to life. But the Pharisees believe in all of these." And so there was a lot of shouting. Some of the teachers of the law of Moses were Pharisees. Finally, they became angry and said, "We don't find anything wrong with this man. Maybe a spirit or an angel really did speak to him." The argument became fierce, and the commander was afraid that Paul would be pulled apart. So he ordered the soldiers to go in and rescue Paul. Then they took him back into the fortress. Psalm 2. The Lord's Chosen King. Why do the nations plot, and why do their people make useless plans? The kings of this earth have all joined together to turn against the Lord and his chosen king. They say, "Let's cut the ropes and set ourselves free." In heaven, the Lord laughs as he sits on his throne, making fun of the nations. The Lord becomes furious and threatens them. His anger terrifies them as he says, "I've put my king on Zion, my sacred hill. I will tell the promise that the Lord made to me. You are my son, because today I have become your father. Ask me for the nations, and every nation on earth will belong to you. You will smash them with an iron rod and shatter them like dishes of clay. Be smart, all you rulers, and pay close attention. Serve and honor the Lord. Be glad and tremble. Show respect to his son. Because if you don't, the Lord might become furious and suddenly destroy you. But he blesses and protects everyone who runs to him. Proverbs 18:13. It's stupid and embarrassing to give an answer before you listen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for another week that we've been able to spend in it, and for all the ground that we have covered during this week in the scriptures, and for all that has been brought up in us to examine within ourselves. And we indeed invite your Holy Spirit, as we always do, to lead us into all truth. We trust you would never deceive us. We can certainly deceive ourselves, and we can certainly be deceived. But if we're paying attention and walking with you, you will lead us into all truth, and that is what we ask for. And so come, Holy Spirit, lead us deeper into Jesus, we ask, in his name. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base. And yeah, that is where you find out what's going on around here. And that is definitely the best way to experience community and our journey through the scriptures as we continue to go. And so make sure that you have the app. Make sure that you visit the website if you don't. And what is going on around here is that in just a few days from now, the 7th of July, is our daily audio Bible holiday, the long walk. And so make plans to go for a long walk with God on the 7th of July. And wherever you go, yeah, just take a picture or a video of where you are and come back to the Daily Audio Bible Facebook page, facebook.com/Daily Audio Bible. We'll have a post there for the long walk, and in that post you can post your pictures and your comments. And what we see inside that one post is this like beautiful windows that open up into each other's lives. We get to see the world on the same day, how it looked around the world. We get to hear each other. It's a beautiful thing that we do individually, walk with God individually and reset our year. But then it becomes a communal thing as we come back together and hear from each other what we felt like the Lord was speaking to us, and see the terrain and the geography of where we all are. And so it's a beautiful thing. It's this is the 20th year, so I'm eager. I look forward to it every year. I'm glad we have this tradition. It's a beautiful tradition, and so I'm looking forward to it once again myself. So make plans for that coming up in a few days. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. There is a link on the homepage. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. This is God's special little donkey. And two things I just wanted to make sure everyone knows that although I don't call in, that I am listening every day and praying alongside with all of the prayers that come through. So even if you don't hear someone, just know that every single one of those prayers I am here praying for. Second, I would like to request prayer from my mom and my brother. My mom is a very strong believer. My brother is not. He has said from time to time through the years that he was, but he has no roots and he is a very lost and damaged soul. he moved in with my mom about 2 years ago and has been a very negative detriment to the household. He has no ability to contribute, and yet he is a heavy user of all the resources, and just is creating a lot of chaos and negativity to my mom's physical and mental health, and of course her savings. So if you could please pray for both of them, my mom, just for strength to continue to carry on in God's will. I know she'll be fine, but for my brother to find salvation and to truly open his eyes and ears and stop feeding junk food to his soul, and to for God to touch him in a way that he just cannot deny, and for him to finally come and accept Jesus as his Savior. So thank you all so much. I pray for you every day. I love you. God bless you all. Have a great day.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Billy from Wetumpka with Eternity Stone. I wanted to put a prayer request out there for myself to be covered up with prayer for my prostate cancer. I have an appointment this week in which I'm kind of in waiting mode on that. I probably need to go ahead and get it figured out and go ahead and have it treated. But I'm kind of in a waiting mode with it. I have an appointment this week to go in and decide whether or not I'm going to have an MRI and another biopsy, in which it's probably what's going to happen. MRI scheduled in August. I also wanted to put a prayer request out there for Junk to Treasure and Lisa the Encourager. I know you guys have health issues as well. We all just need to be covered up in prayers. Anybody that has cancer and or other health issues. Seems like Satan is on the attack for these health problems that we've all incurred. We just need to be covered up with prayer. And that is it. I will talk to you guys later. Love y'all. Bye for now.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Christine from Washington State. I'm just calling to ask for prayer for a friend of mine's baby daughter that's got a tumor on her right kidney, and it's bleeding. It's a large tumor, and she's going downhill fast. So I'm just calling on all prayer warriors to pray for this little baby and lift her up. Thank you so much, family.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. This is for Jamie, and for any parents out there who are paying attention to or concerned about their kids' welfare, their kids' well-being, and their walk with the Lord. Just want to encourage you all that we do stand on the Word of God. We always have. That's the only way that we go forward. My parents prayed for me for a long time that I would have godly mentors, godly peers, and a godly spouse. And coming close on 30 now, I can say that those prayers have been answered. I'm married to a beautiful woman who loves the Lord. We're raising 3 kids together. I have godly friends that I can meet regularly with and grow with and fellowship with. And I have men in my life who speak into my life and call me upwards in the Lord. And my parents prayed for that for a long time. So we stand on the Word of God. And like he says in Psalm 128, in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Just want to encourage you to keep on doing what you're doing. Keep praying for your kiddos. Keep standing on the Word of God. And let God take care of it and do what He does best. God bless y'all.
This is Hands to Heaven. I have a prayer request for my brother-in-law, Mark. Within the last 48 hours, he's learned that his sore throat is actually cancer at the base of his tongue in the back of his throat, and at least one lymph node in his neck is swollen. Doctors suspect squamous cell carcinoma. Mark and my sister Mary were scheduled to leave on vacation yesterday, but doctors strongly urged that they not go because the mass in his neck is pressing on his jugular. Mark's next appointment for further testing is Monday, July 6th. Please pray for Mark and Mary and their daughter and grandson. They're all believers. Thank you so much. This is Hands to Heaven. God bless you all.
Hi, DB community. This is Jesus worshiper Alina from Delray Beach. And I just wanted to pray and lift up my brother who is fighting his battle for like 7 months with mental illness of his wife. I heard the Lord tell me that you are in the perfect place. Even it doesn't look like it. Looks like you are surrounded by the enemy, but you are surrounded by God, because when you broke in tears, God could hear you. When you broke in tears, he knows that you're in that place that you are able to hear his voice. You understand that you're weak, but he's strong when you're weak, and you give it all to him. And when you surrendered your life to Jesus, he promised to be with you. So I pray that you will understand that you are in the best place. Even you think that this is really a hard situation, and I know it doesn't sound like it's hard to thank God for that, but I know that you are in the best spot because you are surrendered to the Lord and to his will. So I pray he will give you the direction. And I mean, I really would love for that to be like you moving alone, you know, with your kids, but whatever God has for you, I know he will make you strong. I know he will make you courageous. I know he will be there with his Holy Spirit to make you just do the things that he wants you to do, and to do the things that he created you to do for him, for your family and for community and for those around you. And your prayer is going to be answered. God is going to be with you. He is already with you. He promised he is already with you. So even your family, you say 3,000 miles away, doesn't matter. Your family is here with you. We are here.